And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Lord, we ask that you would bless this service and the rest of this time. Thank you for these songs that we can sing. Lord, you put songs in our heart of worship, of praise, of thanksgiving, and we pour it all to you right now, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Be our vision, Lord. Help us to see you. Help us to understand your word, Lord. And all of the things that we have happening today, we just put on the back shelf right now, and we lift up our hearts, we lift up our hands to you and ask that you would lead us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. We give you these moments, Lord. Just this next moment here, we give to you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. In this time, like something, right? A shred of light. No, we found a lot, and hopefully you have too. We found something that God has spoken or God has revealed to you, or maybe a friendship or time with family or whatever it is that God has done. We want to recognize it, don't we? It's easy to recognize negativity. Have you ever felt in your heart actually like it's very easy to find negativity? Like almost too easy to be negative, right? Have you felt that way? Am I the only one who likes being negative around here? No, I'm just kidding. It's in our heart and it happens. But then we don't want to forget the blessings that God has given us or the words that he has spoken to us. Have you noticed that you could listen to a message on a Sunday? You could say, oh my gosh, that was amazing, right? Or praying it happens someday in this room where you could walk out and say that was amazing. No, but you hear, or you have a time of worship where you feel like, God, you're in the presence of God. And you say, oh my gosh, that fixed everything in my life. I'm ready to go. And then you walk out the door and stub your toe and it's like the whole thing's forgotten. You're like, oh my God, the humanity, right? Oh God, no, God doesn't love me. He never speaks to me. Right? Like hang on to the time. Hang on to, like, that's what I'm praying for, the moments that we have in here. Maybe the next hour we have to be here together. In this time of worship and the things that God speaks, they're not just to get through the time, right? It's not just like, you know, I'm watching, okay, church is 12 o'clock. We're getting near 12 o'clock. Church is going to be over. And then that part of the day is over. But no, this is the stuff that we take with us through our week and on to the next adventure that God has prepared for us, because God speaks to us and he speaks to us intentionally. So Christ has been revealed to us, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. He is revealed, and do we recognize him? Okay, so we'll pray for the offering. You can give online, ggcfmarborough.org, or the baskets will be in the back at the end of service. But Lord, thank you for this opportunity right now to be with you, with your people, in your house. And thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us, to speak to us, and to show us who you are, Lord. In your name, amen. John chapter 9. We spoke last week about this man in John chapter 9. Does anybody remember? John chapter 9. What did we say in particular about Christ's meeting of this man? Does anybody remember the one thing? He saw a man. Right? Jesus saw a man in that sentence, that Christ saw this man. Whether or not, I mean, obviously the guy didn't see Christ because he's born blind. But Christ was there and he was moving amongst his people and he saw someone broken, saw someone who couldn't take care of themselves, saw someone who had been ridiculed, who had been talked about, had been condemned, had been judged. And Christ came to this man and spoke to him. Now I want to read the whole story. So let's go. Everyone have your Bible open to John chapter 9. We'll read verse 1 through 34. I'm just going to go for it. Right? You're going to be able to listen to me read for that long? Right? Yeah, it's okay. All right, here we go. Now Jesus passed by. He saw a man who was born blind. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What a question. Isn't that interesting? These guys, they said, Jesus, we know what this is all about. Obviously, this guy has some terrible sin that he committed in the womb. It's either that or his mother and his father had some terrible sin in their life and he is bearing the penalty. Christ's response is beautiful. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. A lot of times the most amazing things that happen in the Bible are described most ordinarily. Like when Christ was born, it says, then Jesus was born in a manger. When Christ died on the cross, it says, then Jesus died. And then here, the blind man is delivered. He was born blind. He had never seen. Like, there was no life in his eyes and the light. Have you ever walked out of a dark room on a sunny day? Like out of the movie theater on a sunny day, and you're just like, oof, you can't see anything. The light reflecting off the sidewalk, you can't see anything. That's from being in the dark for like an hour and a half or something, right? Never in his life had he seen lights, and all of a sudden his eyes are opened. It's not just a miracle of delivering him from some disease, but it is restoring the whole structure of his eyes. And even the receptors in his brain that receive that light and analyze the pictures that are seen. Like, this healing is not just like the eye was healed, but the man, the whole thing was made whole. How? By washing some spit off his face. Right? How else can you say it other than the man washed and then he could see? He came back seeing. We want the breakdown. We want to know exactly what happened. How did those nerves get light? How did the retina receive these things? How did it all happen? You can't even describe it. So we could just say, he was blind and now he sees. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen him, seen that he was blind, said, is this not he who sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, it is like him. And he said, I am he. It's me. Yeah, that's me. I've been sitting here my entire life. I know your voice. I know you know who I am. You have sat here. You have judged me. You have analyzed me. You have tripped over me and asked for forgiveness. You have thrown a little change in my cup. I know who you are. It's me. Trust me. Trust me. And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received sight. Then they said to them, where is he? And he said, I do not know. Because they are not sure what happened, because they themselves cannot compute the whole ordeal. Is there something still missing? We still don't understand exactly what's going on. Let's bring him to the Pharisees, because they'll be able to judge this. They'll be able to determine what is really happening. So they brought him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Oh, the Sabbath. Oh. The Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Simple, huh? Therefore, some of the Pharisees says, this man is not from God because he does work. He does not keep the Sabbath. And others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. There is a division among them. One is saying, how could he possibly be from God if he doesn't keep the Sabbath? And the other group is saying, how could he possibly not be from God if he's able to open the eyes of the blind? What's the bigger issue? What's the bigger question? What is Christ come for? What is the Sabbath made for? The Sabbath is made for man. Man is not made for the Sabbath. Sometimes we turn it upside down and we say that, oh, the Sabbath is there, therefore I must. But actually, the Sabbath is created for us so that we can rest. And Christ multiple times is confronted about the Sabbath. Have you noticed that? I think he enjoyed it, right? He's like, ooh, it's Saturday, let's go. Let's go do something. Let's go stir the pot a little bit, right? And he does, but does he ever delineate it? Does he ever answer the things? No, he goes up to something higher, and he goes to a greater power. He goes to something different, which is God and man. And he's saying, in essence, like the Sabbath, yes, is a beneficial thing, and it's in your oral law. It's not, but it is not the main thing. And I would say that the principle of Sabbath is a good thing for us to recognize in our lives. Right? Take a break. Have some time to reflect on God's work in your life, like we were saying in the beginning of service. Have some time to be thankful for what God is doing. Have some time for rest. I know Alistair Begg spoke about this in his family, that his family on Sunday, nothing happened, right? They went to church and they came home, they ate, and then it was quiet. It was quiet in the house. Right? Does that ever happen in your house, that it was quiet? I'm still waiting. Right? No. No, we need this time. We need this time to reflect and to recover, right? Recover, renew our hearts and our minds. But thinking that I missed it, or that it's on a day, and if I don't keep the day, then I miss it, is funny to me, because it is for me. Okay, we don't want to get into that right now. But does that make sense? Okay. But they are recognizing this too. They say, but on the other hand, look, he is opening the eyes of the blind. This is kind of a big deal. I mean, it's a miracle. It's something happening completely outside of the course of nature. And it is a miracle. And another thing that we'll get into today, it is a prophecy. It is a prophecy. And does prophecy have any weight? The anticipation of Christ, the anticipation of the Messiah, does that have any weight in your looking at the situation? There is a division there. Where are we? Oh, verse 17. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Again, they looked at him. What do you say about him who opened your eyes? Man, that's like 2 weeks in a row, isn't it? Siri. Added to my reminders that who is Jesus, okay? Siri, what do you say about him, Siri? Right? What do you say about him because he opened your eyes? They're kind of baiting him into something. What do you say about this man since he opened your eyes? And they'll see, they'll feed him the answers. But he says he's a prophet. He's a prophet. He's something more than just an average man. Like he opened my, do you guys understand? I was born blind and now I see, and I didn't realize how funny noses were. And now you guys are talking to me. Like what is, like I see, right? But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. Imagine that. Nah. This guy, I don't believe it. I don't buy it. You weren't born blind. So they called his parents. He called his parents. He said, Wesley, Carla, get up here. Right? Don't actually have to. It's okay. Right? No, it's okay. Okay. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, first of all, whom you say was born blind? Right? Whom you say? How then does he now see? If you say he was born blind, how is it that he sees? Are you lying? Have you been tricking us? Like you put him here to collect money? Like what is the deal? And we've all heard of the stories of people who have scammed other people by sitting on the street side of begging money, right? I think there was a story in South Africa. I remember the guy who would beg and he realized, oh my gosh, this is profitable. And he had an amazing house in the hills and like this whole thing. And they arrest him or something. He said, what did I do wrong? People gave me money. Like, they gave me money. What do you want me to do? Like, what have you guys been up to? How is it that he sees? You said he was born blind. How can he see? And they know also that the danger is that they could kick them out of the synagogue. But his parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We were there. We were there the day he was born, by the way. He is our son. And yes, he was born blind. But what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, asked him, and he will speak for himself. And his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessing that he was Christ, they would put out of the synagogue. They already had a paranoia about Christ. They already had a concern that people would be believing in this man as the Messiah. And they said, okay, if people put their trust in him, then we put them out of the synagogue. They're not welcome. And the synagogue is more than just the place of worship, but it is the place of social life in the Jewish religion. And everything comes from the synagogue, right? So they are worried that they will be put out. And they say, they don't blaspheme anything. They don't do anything. They just say, listen, he's of age. Ask him. Right? That's like Wesley and Carla. They say, Pedro's a young man. You can ask him. Right? Ask him. He's right there. Awkward silence for Pedro to do something awkward. Right. Verse 24, so they again called the man who was blind. Okay, bring him back in for further questioning. There's got to be more to it. It's too simple. He put mud on my eyes. I washed. I can see. Bring him back. Okay. They said to him, give God the glory. Right. See? Siri does not have an answer for the glory of God. And I'm sorry, you can just turn it off. Thanks. That's my phone, by the way. Give God the glory. What are they saying? They're not saying, like, let's praise God together. It's not like Psalm 34, let us magnify the Lord together. They're not saying, let's get together, let's celebrate the miracles of God. What do you say? No, they're saying to him, swearing before God. They're like, with God as our witness, is basically what they're saying. And they are trying to push the guy in fear to their understanding of who Christ was. We know this man is a sinner. We know he is a sinner. Interesting way of going at things, isn't it? That first they want to destroy who Christ is. They want to give you the definition of who he is. And then, based on their definition of who he is, you look at what he does. Have you ever experienced that kind of working in the world? Where they would say, okay, we can say, look at what this man has done, and you can conclude what kind of man he is based on his actions, right? But instead they're saying, no, let's tell you what this man is, and then determine his actions based on that. It's the opposite way around. And they are slandering Christ and putting a negative definition of who Jesus is and then work through what he has done. If he is a sinner, then what he has done is based on iniquity and he has a demon. That's what they say early in John chapter 8. You have a demon in John 8. Same people. They say, you have a demon. Right? But Christ here is the truth. And his actions come from somewhere. They're not. He says in the very beginning, I must work the works of God. That his actions are coming from who he is and who the Father has said he is. So it's just interesting that they try to push that on this man. No, we know he is a sinner. We know it. And he could say, based on how do you know? Based on what? What are you really saying? He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I know. I was blind, and now I see. Can we take that truth? Can we take that evidence and then make a determination of who he is or look at who he is a little bit? Forget about that question. Who has been able to open the eyes of the blind? And is there anything in the Bible previous that has given us any indication of who would be able to open the eyes of the blind? Oh, good question. Then they said to them, what did he do to you? What did he do to you? He brainwashed you. What did he do to you? Tell us again from the top. We need to hear it again. How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Okay, now I love this guy. I can't wait to meet this blind guy. He's sharp as a tack. Oh my gosh, he's on it. And he knows the game. He knows the game. He's starting to play with them now. And he says, what do you want? What do you want to be his disciple? Would you, if I tell you the same story again, will you glorify God with me? Will you become his disciple? Will you put down your structure and your little game and your ideas and your agendas? And will you submit to him and follow his teaching? Will you? And they reviled him. Then they reviled him. They hated. A fire burned in them. At first, this guy was just like, you know, an inconvenience and they needed to get to the bottom of it. But now they hate him. Now he is challenging the structure of their belief. He is challenging their righteousness. And he is saying to them, basically, he's saying to them, hey, listen, this could be the Messiah. And if it is, are you willing to follow him? No, no way. He's a sinner. We could never follow this man. And you are a fool. And I love this blind guy because he could be like, you know, I'm a fool, whatever you want to say. I was blind, but now I see. Call me a fool if you want, but I'm a fool who can see. And I can see because the Messiah has come and touched my eyes and restored my sight. It's amazing. It's a miracle. Could we miss a miracle because of our ideas? Could we miss a miracle because what we think we know? And I would say that the world today is like these people, a lot of people in the world. And when I say the world, I mean people without Christ. And they are saying, based on what we know Jesus is, we can never believe him. Well, where have you gathered your information as to who Jesus is? Have you heard from him? Has it been revealed to you? Has he stood in front of you and told you who he is? Isaiah 53, who has believed our reports? Who has believed our reports? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This is Christ. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? How did he come? Despised, right? Afflicted, smitten, and there's no comeliness in him. Isn't that a funny description of Christ? That naturally you would look at him and you would say, There's no draw to him. There's no appeal to his beauty. He wasn't like, you know, some people walk into the room and they just have presence. Christ was different. But what was known of him was revealed. And there in Isaiah 53, it says that he was acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. It's a beautiful description of our Savior. Not above it, but in it. And here he is with a blind man. And the blind man is being grieved, isn't he? He is afflicted here. And there is grief in him. And we'll see by the end of the chapter. Okay. They reviled him and said, you are his disciple. In a sense, saying, you were a fool. And he could say, okay. I'll follow the guy who opened my eyes. I'll follow him gladly instead of the ones who analyze my guilt and poke at me at my sin, right, and want to mock me. Okay, I'll gladly follow the one who saw me in my blindness and out of nothing, no call of my heart, he just healed me. I'll follow him, whoever he is. I don't even know who he is right now, but I am going to pursue it. And maybe you should too. And they could say, we have pursued the law. What do you mean? We know. Look at us. We're Pharisees. And he says, yeah, look at you. You're Pharisees. And here we go. Look. But we are Moses' disciples. We are Moses' disciples. I picture, you know, in the Muppets, right? The two guys, the two judges, right? That's what I picture with these guys. We are Moses' disciples, right? Up in their little balcony there, right? Critiquing. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Although they have taken quite a few shots at him since chapter 6, they have taken quite a few shots at Christ, and they have called him, they said he is from an adulterous affair, he said he is from iniquity, they have a lot to say about him, actually. This fellow, he'll be passing through, another charlatan, another snake oil salesman, he's just coming and going, he'll be gone. We don't even know where he's from. Look at, I love this answer. The man answered and said, this is like a movie line. Why, this is a marvelous thing, right? Why then, this is a marvelous thing that you don't know where he is from, but he has opened my eyes. Whoa, what a great statement. This is a marvelous thing. Oh, what an interesting predicament. Oh, this is a great conversation, guys. I'm glad you brought me in today. How is it that you don't know who he is? He opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Beautiful. God heard this man. God, that's what he's saying in this sentence. He's saying, listen, he heard me. He heard me. There is your answer to where my blindness comes from. That it's not because of my sin in the womb. How could I even do that? What are you guys, crazy? But it's because, like Christ said, that the works of God would be revealed in him. And he's saying, listen, I am not. He could say I'm a sinner, but I am not living in sin. He heard me. Look, the fruit of my cry to God is that he has healed my eyes. Do you get it, guys? And in the same way, he's challenging them and he's saying, maybe it's you who are living in sin. Maybe it's you who are blind and who aren't able to see the Messiah who is walking right in front of you. Because since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who is born blind. And there are history in the Jewish text, there are stories about people who had become blind and then their sight was restored. But never of one who was born that way and then they being able to see. Guys, this is, he's not saying, look at me, but he's saying, look at him. Do we understand the gravity of what he has done? If this man were not from God, then he could do nothing. He gave him the gospel. They answered and said to him, You are completely born in sins and you are teaching us. How dare you? Where does this reaction come from? Does it come from humility? No, it comes from pride. And it comes from this guy in simplicity being able to put his finger on them and say, in a sense, you might be missing the point. You might be missing the whole thing. Could you be wrong, guys? And they say, get out of here. How dare you attempt to teach us? All you've ever done is sat on your butt and collect coins for a living. How dare you tell us? And he says, no, I am a worshiper of God. I am a worshiper of God, and in my lowly estate, sitting here collecting coins, somebody saw me, somebody heard me, and somebody healed me. And I believe he is the one that you are missing. Are you willing to believe in him? And this is what we have to say also. And people could say, how about this? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about this? Hypothetically, oh my gosh, we could go on for days. All I know is that I was blind and now I see. Are you willing to receive that same kind of healing in your life? Because he is able. He sees you and he hears you and he can heal you. But you believe in him. Believe in Jesus. He is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. I love that in there, in that verse 20 or 31 where he says that he hears. I love that there is a diligent seeking in this man as he is there, not understanding his blindness, not understanding his situation, but pursuing God. And he was heard. He was heard. We are heard by God. Isn't that amazing to think about? In a sense that He would condescend and He would come down to us and He would walk up to us, He would approach us and He would touch us and heal us. This is our Savior. He's so personal. You are completely born in sins and you teach us, and they cast Him out. They gave Him the boot. Just like His parents were worried about, right? Isn't that what His parents, they said, listen, ask Pedro, I don't know, right? We'll give you, He's our son, yes. He was born blind, yes. Everything else, ask Him, He's right there. We don't want to get kicked out. But this guy said, I cannot deny this. Do whatever you want to me. But He is, and He did, and I see. Jesus heard that they had cast Him out, and when He had found Him, He said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Imagine being there. Psalm 27, verse 10 says, though my father and my mother reject me, and we could even say, though religion rejects me, God is there for me. There is this man, he's cast out of the synagogue, he's put out, and I don't know about the family, whatever, we could speculate, but we don't need to, right? And Christ comes to him. Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe? And he said, who is he, Lord? Who is he that I may believe in? I would love to, please. Point me in his direction. Show me where his temple is. Show me what offering I can bring. What do I have to pay? What do I have to do? Yes, bring me there. Jesus said, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. What a funny way to say it's me. Right? Just like the woman in John chapter 4, verse 26. Right, Lord, she said, I want this, and he that speaks to you, and I am he. It's me. I am here next to you, with you. You, as an individual person, are enough for me to come to you in your affliction, in your sorrow, and say, do you believe in me? Do you trust me? How personal is our Savior? He hears us. He sees us. He knows our situation. He knows everything. And He is faithful in our sorrow to be there with us. A man acquainted with grief, it says in Isaiah 53. Acquainted with grief. Have you ever been younger and hearing about depression and maybe knowing someone in depression and just saying, come on, like, let's go. Let's go get some sunshine. Let's go. Like, it'll be fine. It's fine. Just let's watch a funny movie or something. Everything will be good, right? My answer for everything, let's go get a cup of coffee. Everything will be fine. It's pull you out of your little discouragement. But as you are older and you maybe experience depression or you understand depression a little more, it is a depth that you can't just have like a coffee and get out of it. Right? Like there is no, you can't just say cheer up. Or you can't, hey, let's just go. Maybe you don't understand depression. Some do, right? Christ is acquainted with grief. He is a man of sorrows. And he is able to meet in that place, and he is able to understand the depth of that place, and in that place he sees you, and in that place he hears you, and in that place he speaks to you. And he reveals himself to you, and he says, it's me. It's me. I am here next to you. And you can say, no one else cares. No one else is next to me. And Christ is saying, we're not talking about anyone else. I'm talking about you and me. Do you see me? Do you believe in me? And the man says, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Oh, I believe. I've been looking, I like how Wes introduced the service today, worship. I have been looking for a place to land my worship. I have been looking for something worthy of my worship. And when you spat on my face, as funny as that is, when you made a saliva and put it on my eyes, I felt that you were the one worthy of my worship. And it is confirmed by his presence with him in his sorrow. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. There you go. There is a physical healing, but there is also a spiritual reality that he is talking about. The ones who could see, the Pharisees, they can see. They already know how funny noses are, right? They can see. But now this man can see, but who really sees? The ones who think they can see are blind because light is walking in front of them and they cannot perceive it spiritually. But to those, right, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To whom? Not to the proud, not to the righteous, not to the worthy, but to the broken, to the humble, to the ones in need. He is revealed and he's acquainted with their grief. And he is a man of sorrows and he heals and he touches. And actually, from this point on in the book of John, we're going to get into the passion. We're going to get into the work of Christ. And Isaiah chapter 53 will be the center of the whole thing. Read Isaiah 53 over and over again. John MacArthur calls it the gospel according to Isaiah. And we could say this whole rest of the book of John is in Isaiah chapter 53. And he is in it and he is revealing. But the point of prophecy, we love prophecy, don't we? There's a great mystery to it, isn't there? The mystical thing. And there's a lot that could happen around it nowadays in modern days. But the prophecy of someone coming and opening the eyes of the blind is throughout the book of Isaiah. Ryan read it earlier in Isaiah chapter 29. It's in Isaiah 42. It's in Isaiah 35. That he will come and he will open the eyes of the blind. Isaiah is such a mystery to people because the things that it speaks about are so clearly answered in the life of Christ. And actually, the things that Isaiah wrote about are still ahead of us. We are still anticipating the prophecies of Isaiah as far as the end times. But people look at the book of Isaiah and they say there's no way that someone wrote that before Christ. Some people say there's a second and a third Isaiah and that they picked up where the first and the second Isaiah left off and then they finished the book after Christ died because it fits so perfectly. But how about this? How about this? God wanted us to know that he was coming. And when he came, he wanted us to know what he would do. And when he did it, he wanted us to know who he is and he wanted us to believe in him. That there is great comfort in these prophecies. And there is a great indication that, oh my gosh, there it is fulfilled. And we talk about the messianic prophecies. They are throughout the Bible. And every chapter in the Old Testament is about Christ. You can find him in there. And the messianic prophecies are the prophecies looked at in the Jewish writings that would point to the coming of the Messiah. And one of them, a very important one, is that he would open the eyes of the blind. This blind man was saying to the Pharisees, hey, you've read the book. I've heard you read it, right? I've heard you recite these things. You're missing it, guys. Not since the beginning of the world has anybody opened the eyes of one who was born blind. How much more clearly can he say, hey, this could be the Messiah? And it is. We believe. And also there is prophecy that Christ will return. Right now we are living in the church age, the dispensation of grace, or the age of the Gentiles. Those are all the same term for this time period. But there is a time coming where Christ will return. He will set foot here on the earth. And he will fulfill the prophecies in the last chapters of Isaiah and the book of Revelation. All of this stuff, we will see it happen. Are our eyes open? Are we believing? And are we anticipating the return of Christ? Amen. Let's be looking forward to it. And let's understand that the one that we are anticipating is not some distant God on top of a pyramid or in a temple somewhere or enshrined somewhere, you know, requiring something in recognition of this day and that food and this incense and bop it a bop it a bop and all the little things that we can confuse ourselves about. But he is listening to the heart of worship. And he is listening to the cry of the blind person who is sitting in darkness saying, I need someone. He sees that man. He sees that woman. He hears your prayer and he is here for you. Christ is our answer. We look out at the world today and we could say, which part of prophecy is this? And we say, specifically, I have no idea, but we can look in Matthew 24 and say, well, the signs of the times are there. The clock is ticking. When will Christ return? I don't know. I don't know. I'd be foolish to give you my estimation. But if you read the signs, it could be soon, right? The things are lining up. The indications are there. But one thing is greater than all of that. One thing is more important than all of that is that is the understanding of Christ as your Savior, as the one who came to you in your blindness and touched your eyes and made you whole and gave you the gift of eternal life. This is the importance of the time that we are living in. This is the mission that Christ has put us on and He has sent us on as the church, that we would go. And people would say, well, what about is America and the prophecy, the eagle, the blah, blah, blah. We say, hey, whoa, whoa, time out. I was blind, but now I see. Can you see? Do you have Christ? And through Christ, He can lead you into the answers of all that stuff. The Spirit of God can lead you into the book that He wrote. Isn't that an amazing idea? Like the Holy Spirit wrote this book. If He is dwelling in you, then He can lead you into the truth of it. Okay, amen. Lord, thank You for healing us. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for delivering us from our blindness, Lord. And if there's anybody here who's never received Christ, you've never asked Him into your life, recognized Him as Savior, just say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm blind. I can't see. I need You. In my discouragement, in my despair, in my lostness, I need someone. Save me. Deliver me. Give me the gift of eternal life. And if you've said that prayer this morning, just raise your hand real quick. We'll pray with you. Lord, thank You for the freedom that You've given us. Thank You that You've opened our eyes and You've given us the ability to see You, Lord. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.